My name is James Glover. I am a PhD candidate from Texas A&M University College Station and representing Texas A&M AgriLife Research, Corpus Christi. And I just wanted to take a moment of my time to say that as such, I am on track to graduate soon, and so this is my last opportunity to be at the Beltwide as a student or maybe for some time. And I just wanted to say thanks to the people, the event organizers, the judges, the people who make the Beltwide happen every year, and for supporting the students through these competitions. I've had a lot of professional growth because of these meetings. But back to what I'm here to talk to you about. In the past, I've been able to talk to you about economic injury levels and some of the disease relationships that they have, but what I haven't been able to address is where the bugs are. And so that's what I'd like to talk to you about today. So we know we have a complex of bull-feeding insects in cotton. Of course, Acrostonum hilaris, who's in the pictures, Nazara viridula, and Euschistus cervus, just to name a few. We know what they do, what boll damage in the form of external puncture marks, internal warts, galls, lint deterioration, lint discoloration, and also those diseases that I mentioned earlier. And a lot of work has been done to find out what are the sensitive plant growth stages, right? But what we don't know is where, and more specifically, where within that plant. And so that's what I want to talk about today. So we're going to see this picture throughout the rest of this. Or here's a picture of a cotton plant, and here's a little illustration that's just showing vegetative branches that make no contribution to yield, and fruiting branches that make contributions through first, second, and third positions. And so just quick materials and math is we did a proof of concept plot in 2016 and then repeated based on those results in 2017. We had three plots that were embedded within a larger field where we released 100 individuals, and the data was collected over a period of 3 days and three nights. And I'm going to go into a little more detail about all those things now. To give you an idea of what we did, we collected all of our stink bugs from soybeans, and we gently took the freshly collected stink bugs and cradled them between your forefinger and your thumb, rested over your middle finger, and then gently applied the non-toxic neon Sharpies that you see in the pictures here. Okay? And I won't go into a lot of detail, but we tried all kinds of other marking techniques. This was the best, and if you want to know more, you can get with me after. And we took a lot of special care when we marked the insects to make sure that we didn't mark any sensory organs like the antenna or the eyes, and even more specifically, the wings, the membranous wing tip. So we only marked the pronotum, the scutellum, and the corium on the sides. And of course, we have the orange fluorescent, this blue fluorescent, and our unmarked controls. Put a little UV light on them, and this is what you get. Okay. So this is our interior plot that's nested within a larger contiguous cotton planting, and there's some little red flags, but I'm going to highlight them for you. You see here. And again, it's nested within a larger planting, right? So we released 10 bugs per row, approximately 5 feet apart, in 10 consecutive rows. And so in 2016, we had plots that had 100 marked blue fluorescent stink bugs, and another plot that had 100 marked orange fluorescent, and then, of course, another plot with our unmarked controls. These insects were released at the base of the plants right after sunrise, before the first daytime collection data period, all right? And so the measurements that we took were with this within plant distribution, this bottom, middle, and top sections of the plant. I'll discuss that a little bit further. Fruiting positions, first, second, and thirds, and this bract position is what is really important. Being inside the bract, concealed, or outside of the bract, exposed. So here's our Christmas tree picture. The plant was sectioned into the top 5 reproductive branches, the middle 5 reproductive branches, and the bottom 5 reproductive branches. And just for presentation purposes, these are the first, second, and third position bowls throughout the plant. Okay. And so again, the measurements that we took were both in the daytime and the nighttime, both inside the bract, concealed, outside of the bract, exposed, or on leaf surfaces, on the upper leaf surface, exposed, or on the lower leaf surface, concealed. Okay. So this is where you get to play along, see if you can find the bug. This was an incredible task, but once we got it fine-tuned and dialed in, it was an incredible night out in the cotton patch. So there's our little orange marked fluorescent bug. Okay. And so in 2016, we had the two different fluorescent marking techniques in addition to the non-marked control. And based on those results, we had higher observations of orange fluorescent insects, so we just repeated that in 2017, as you can see from the footage. Again, the data was collected over 3 days and two nights, and the cotton was infested at about mid to late bloom. Now, to investigate those measures further, they all conform to a contingency analysis looking at the differences in significant proportions of observed stink bugs based upon this top, middle, bottom sections. And our null hypothesis was, you know, there's no rhyme or reason. The stink bugs are just there. You know, there's no. So, and to address that, in 2016, only like I mentioned earlier, where we had the two fluorescent marking techniques, it conformed to a 3x3. This is where we have the three different stink bugs marked, the two fluorescent marking across these top being, looking at the distribution across the top, middle, and bottom sections. In 2017, where we had just the orange fluorescent and the control conforming to a 2x3, those two marking techniques across the top, middle, and bottom sections again. And then furthermore, drilling in a little bit closer, looking at where the insects were distributed on first and second position bowls and leaves. And then lastly, 2x3, looking at the fluorescent insects, whether they were, again, inside the bract concealed, outside of the bract exposed, and again, being on the upper leaf surface exposed or lower leaf surface concealed. Now, all of our measurements were significant, both during the day and the night, However, there were fewer observations during the day. All right, so how we found the bugs is that we've at Walmart, there is a product marketed for finding scorpions in your home. This is a 52 LED light UV flashlight, and it emits wavelength in that pattern. This is to give you an idea of what it's like holding that flashlight out looking for these insects in the plots. Again, we observe more of the orange, and that's why I'm only going to be sharing the 2017 data with you today with the orange fluorescent marking technique. So all of the data is going to come in this same format, where it's going to be day and night. And what I'd like to call your attention to is that we observe more of the fluorescent marking insects than any of them. But more importantly is where we observe them at within those top, middle, and bottom plant sections. In the daytime, we had higher observations concentrated in the middle and the tops. And when we look at nighttime, we see the same pattern. More insects that were concentrated are observations in the middle and tops of the plants. Now, here again we have this day and night. And I'm sorry, what I didn't tell you is on the left-hand axis, I've gone a little fast here, the y-axis is the actual number of insects that we've observed, and then the numbers on top of the columns are their associated probabilities. All right. So again, the takeaway between the day and the night is that they were concentrated in the middle and tops of the plants. Now, when we look at the distribution on first position and second position bowls and leaves during the daytime, when we observed them at the bottom, they were primarily on second position bowls and leaf surfaces. Now, in the middle of the plant, we saw them concentrated on first position bowls and leaves, similarly in the top. Now, during the nighttime, yes, they occurred at the bottom, but at such small numbers and small frequencies, really didn't make a difference. However, in the middle parts of the plant, again, we see this same trend of first position bowls. And at the top, first position bowls in addition to leaf surfaces. Now, this is where the story gets a little more interesting. On the day and night, if you look on the left side, it really didn't matter where you were on a first position bowl, a second position bowl, or a leaf surface, because you were primarily observed on the inside of that bract or on the underneath side of that leaf surface concealed. While during the nighttime, really didn't make a difference where you were there either, because whether you were on a first position, a second position, or a leaf surface, you were exposed on the outside of that bowl or on a top leaf surface. And so what does all that mean, right? How can we use this to our benefit? So when you take a look at the data and the observations, when you split it between these top, middle, and bottom sections, we saw during the daytime that we had higher numbers of observations concentrated in the top and middle sections of the plants on first position bowls. And then when we observed them on the bottom, they were on second position bowls, but more importantly, they were concealed. Okay, they were inside the bract or on lower leaf surfaces. And during the nighttime, we saw this trend where they were concentrated again in the upper portions of the plant, in the top and middles, on first positions, but exposed on outer leaf surfaces. Interestingly enough, we found during the nighttime, most of those observations of exposed on upper leaf surfaces were in the upper portions of the plant when they were on a leaf. And during the daytime, observations tended to be during in the middle and bottoms of the plant on underneath the leaf surfaces. So I guess in conclusion, you know, we've got insects during the daytime that are concentrating themselves in the upper portions of the plant on these first position bowls with a slightly a little more variation towards the bottom. And so what I would suggest for you to do is go out at nighttime. I want you to go out during the nighttime with your flashlights and sample. Okay, obviously that is ridiculous and that would never work. But what we can do is continue. When you shake your plants, this is just further evidence that you've got to shake the hell out of it. You've got to be very vigorous with it, right? And then this concept that we might like to call this photoperiod-specific sampling, where we're concentrating our efforts in the upper portions of that plant, taking special attention to the first position bowls and peeling back those bracts. And so just some next steps. Might be nice to know if we could get any better resolution. Is there an early and late parts of the day where that distribution may change? So adding some different sampling periods, both in like late day or late night or early night. And can we take existing insect detection platforms and integrate what we've learned with this study and try to use those technologies and then refocus our efforts in these upper portions of the plant? And so to finish up is that with this industry standard of cracking green bowls, coupled with what we've learned from here, that we may actually be able to make some headway in concentrating our efforts and increasing efficiency in our sampling. And with that, these are the folks who made it possible. It's pretty hard to go out there and count little stink bugs at nighttime during the daytime. A lot of people made this work possible. And with that, I'd like to open the floor to any questions or comments.
Any questions for James?
Yes, sir. Well, we know that stink bugs are bowl feeders, and so primarily they're coming in between mid-bloom or late bloom when that period of susceptibility occurs. So just number one, that's the period to focus on, especially sampling or your spraying. Now, your comment towards what sort of nozzle tips to use, I'm afraid that's a little outside of my expertise.
What time of day?
Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. What time of day? Well, I don't think we're going to get folks. Well, you can. All these tractors have lights on them. You can work at night. Excuse me. That's a good question. That's a great point, and that may be something to address in the future. Good point. Thank you. But I guess, just to finish that up, I'm sorry. If I had to pick a time, whether night, day or night, it certainly wouldn't be during the hottest part of the afternoon because they're just simply so concealed and down in the most interior portions of that plant where that canopy is dense that you know that the coverage that you get is minimal at best. I'm sorry, I know that doesn't answer your question, but that's what I got. Yes, sir.
Just I know you didn't present data on today, but I'm just curious what you saw. The threshold developed in the southeast is based on a principle of selection for bowl size.
Quarter size, yeah. So some of the analyses that I didn't show you is that it didn't really matter. There was no rhyme or reason to being inside or outside based just on top, middle, and bottom. It really had to do, what was driving that was the daytime or nighttime condition. Now, with respect to the age of bowls, we picked that period to infest because we knew that we had those appropriate quarter size or 1 inch or less size bowls. I don't know, but I'd like to get back with you on that. That's a good question. Thanks.
All right. Thanks very much.